It's hard to find words to express thanks and gratitude and everything else I need to for being asked to preach at such an event as one of the Lord's churches celebrating 100 years. And the songs that have been sang tonight, the last one especially. Now, doesn't that remind you of Hebrews chapter 11 so much about all of the heroes of faith? And another soldier down. Every time a child of God leaves this life, another soldier is down. But the victory was still theirs, just like the victory is still ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank the church for this opportunity to come. So great. We've been asked to preach at some of your homecomings. We sure appreciate that. I don't get to preach all of them, but I sure thank you for the invitations to. But this is a really great honor for me to come and bring the Word of God to such a people as this. You say, well, now don't get slanderous, preacher. I didn't, folks. I mean, 100 years, you think about it. That's a century. 100 years, God's people, serving in this place, this community, with one heart, one mind, the gospel going out, God saving people, adding to the church such as should be saved, and giving to the people a heart to serve the Lord. Amen. How great that is, folks, that God to give us a heart that we might serve Him. You know, we should always want to have the attitude that the psalmist had. Said, Lord, give me a new heart. Said, cleanse my heart and know my heart. And if there's anything not clean in there, take it away. The psalmist wanted to serve his Lord. He wanted to be part with the Lord. And he wanted to give himself over to the Lord. Said, well, he was a scallywag, no more than I was or anybody else. Folks, God called His people. He called His people for a purpose. And I think it's being served and fulfilled here in this community. Amen. This church, y'all have lived through a few pastors, I know. But the one you got now and his wife, don't you ever forget about him. You always pray for them. They always need to be in your heart and your mind. Take care of them. We live in a time. I hope nobody's confused about the time that we live in. Say, well, we're really confused about the virus, so am I. I don't know what to believe. I don't know which way to turn. I don't know who to go to. Folks, the Lord is not surprised by whatever happens. Whatever comes to pass, it doesn't surprise the Lord. There's no accidents with the Lord. There's nothing that happens that He hasn't foreseen, that He hadn't, matter of fact, ordained them to come to pass. So, folks, we have that hope tonight that God, in His wisdom, in His knowledge, God's grace, God's peace, God's keeping power, and this day and time that we live, you know. And, you know, we've heard all about it. You know, everybody, lots and lots of preachers and teachers and everybody and God's people are saying, well, this is the last time. You know how long I've heard that? I've heard that for 60-some years now, that we're living in the last days. So where is the promise of His coming? Folks, it's in the Word of God. And when is He going to come? I don't know. It's none of my business. That's the Lord's business. I do know this. When it's time for us to go, folks, we're going to go. So the time we live in, what do we need to do? Well, Ephesians in chapter 6 lets us know, folks, we need to carry the whole armor of God. And especially that shield of faith. It shelters us from the fiery darts of Satan. And boy, he's throwing them, isn't he? He's got an endless supply of the fiery darts. He knows exactly what it takes to upset me and upset churches. He knows exactly what it takes to break hearts and cause people to have hard feelings and everything. He knows all about that. And folks, he's good at his job. Beware, He's real. Beware, folks. He's real. Well, you know, you just need to preach about God and the Lord Jesus and everything else. You know, folks, God is real. There's no doubt about that, is there? The Lord Jesus is real. There's no doubt about that. The Holy Spirit's real because we're saved by God's grace, and that's how He works with His Word. And the devil, just as busy as he's ever been. In the hearts of God's people, we're His targets. So you remember that. When you get upset, when you get mad, when you get aggravated, when you get confused, God tells us in His Word, God is not the author of confusion. God is the author of peace and comfort, folks. God offers us His whole truth to help us to be prepared for every day that He's pleased to give us. Every day. And on the book of Psalm, chapter 19, Psalm chapter 19, and we want to look at verse 7 and read a few verses there. Psalm 19 and verse 7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean. Forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them is great reward." And in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? "Cleanse thou me from secret faults, and keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer." Our Heavenly Father, as we come to You once again, we do thank You for this great honor, this great privilege, Lord, together with this people here. Father, we thank You for the rejoicing we've seen, the songs that we've heard. We thank You, Father, for prayer, that we can bow our heads and You can hear us. And You answer prayer. And Lord, there's such a great need for Your people to pray. And Father, we ask, each time that we bow our head, Lord, we would beseech You to draw us closer to You, to bless those that are lost with Your salvation. Father, bless each home that is represented here this night. And Father, continue to bless this great church. Father, as other churches, they've stood against evil for many years. Father, we know the gates of hell will not prevail against Your church. We thank You for that. Father, it might go on, continue. Lord, and as we consider those faithful men and women down through the years that have brought us to this place, Father, we ask You would help us to consider and think on these things. Cause us to rejoice, even in the day and time that we live, and be happy in the Lord. And Father, help us to trust in You in all things. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. When we read about the Word of God, the law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, the judgments of the Lord, they're to be desired by God's people. You know, folks, I'm not a preacher that ever would come and stand before a church and say, "I've got something brand new for you." I don't have anything new. I don't imagine there's one scripture I'm going to read or attempt to quote tonight that y'all haven't heard over and over and over. I don't imagine, folks, that this message hadn't been spoken by other people. Down the same line, over and over. But folks, we can never, ever be full enough of God's Word. We can never, ever trust enough in the Lord's Word. When the psalmist, and there's a lot of subjects in the book of Psalm, and people say, you know, preacher, you can really get out of context in the book of Psalm. Folks, you sure can. I don't doubt that. The one thing is never out of context. Every time David's enemies was surrounding him, every time his heart was overwhelmed, as the Word of God tells us, David says, when my heart is overwhelmed, all I can do is point you to somebody, to a rock that is higher than I. That is what I can do. He went through the whole book of Psalm, folks. It didn't make any difference what it was. He knew where he needed to look for everything that he needed. Started way back when he was a boy. The Lord always provided, folks. Out of all of the men of Israel, even the fighting men, David is the one that had to tell them, don't let your hearts fail you. Just a ruddy little youth, the Word of God says. Don't let your hearts fail you. Them guys over there, them Philistines, they're big and tall. Boy, they've been trained in battle. And don't you know their shield weighs as much as some of us do? Just his shield. And his spear, I doubt any of us could throw it. And David still trusted in God enough to say, don't let your hearts fail. We stand against a great enemy today, great and mighty. He has power over the airways. He has power, folks, that we need to be aware of in every part of our life. In Hebrews in chapter 11, and just want to look at verse 5 and 6, it says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, that chapter 11 covers a lot of people, folks. And that's not all the heroes of faith. I've said so many times, I've told this church before. You can go back through the scriptures. You can read about Enoch and Noah and Moses and Abraham and all of the faithful men and women, folks. God says they were known by their faith. Well, we've got people, folks, that we know by their faith today. We've got people that we have known that the Lord's called home. Folks, their faith was always in the Lord. Always was. And that's exactly where it needed to be. But Enoch, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Well, you just don't know, preacher. You don't know how the devil is working in my life. You just don't know how the devil is working in our church. I think we all know, folks. When the devil starts to work in the church, he has to work in the church members. He has to work in their hearts. He has to upset them. He has to cause them to nitpick. He has to cause them, folks, doubt. He has to cause them to fear. And before long, folks, we're bringing him right in the door with us. Right in the door with us. Folks, let's keep him outside the doors. Let's keep him outside of our hearts. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. Draw nigh to God, and the devil will flee from you. Take advantage of God's Word, folks, it has never failed yet, and it never will fail. It's a Word, folks, that God has settled in heaven. Nothing anybody can do about it now. It's fixed. And it's not going to change. Not God's Word. They want to change it, but they can't. God's greater than they are. They want to change the meaning of it, but they can't. God's meaning, folks, means what it says. And it says what it means. Change it if you want, and you'll be wrong. So you got a little chip on your shoulder, don't you? No, I don't, folks. You know, what I like, what I love is to see God's people rejoicing in their salvation. I want to see people happy in the Lord. Happy are you. And blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And, you know, God says, folks, we're a blessed, called people. Called unto Himself. For His purpose, not mine. For His purpose and not mine. In Colossians in chapter 3, Colossians in chapter 3, keep in mind, folks, that because we're saved by the grace of God, because the Lord has given us, has shown us His grace, He has given us a new life, one that we couldn't live of ourselves before, folks. We just couldn't. We might think we could have. At one time, we probably thought we were living pleasing to the Lord before we even knew Christ. We may have thought that at one time. You know, there's people in the Scriptures that they made the brags. Well, I tithe everything I have. And if I would make a mistake and cheat somebody, I'd restore unto them fourfold and everything else. And boy, we can brag, can't we? We can sure lift ourselves up. We can grab our suspender straps and say, boy, look at me. Watch out. Let's look to the Lord.
Amen.
You trust in the Lord. Colossians in chapter 3, and let's start with verse 1. And it said, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. That verse, when Christ, who is our life... I'm sure y'all know the song, without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Without Him, I'd be drifting like a ship without a sail. Jesus, oh Jesus. Do you know Him today? Please don't turn Him away. Folks, look, Christ is our life. He is our strength. No matter how you look at it. As a child of God, Christ is our life. And not only that, when He appears, we're going to be with Him in glory. Now, you know, people, they like to extend what God really means about His Word. You know, they like to add to it. Folks, when Christ comes back for His people, when He appears, we are going to be with Him in glory. Now, so what's glory like? Folks, you know, God gives us a little glimpse of what heaven might look like. Then we can really use our imagination, you know. I've never seen a crystal clear river. I've never seen one of them here on earth. I've seen some mighty pretty lakes, but I've never seen a crystal clear river. I've never seen streets that are as gold. I've never seen that. I've never seen gates such as He's talking about. I've never seen that before, not here on this earth. But one day we're going to. One day, folks, we're going to be partakers of that. I love that stuff. I love, folks, that there's something better than this life in store for you and I that are His. I love, folks, that when the gospel goes out, and folks, let me tell you, to preach from a tent or a front porch or out in the field, you know what that's like? That's like a voice crying in the wilderness. You know, God's people, and again, the pastors, church pastors anymore. Could you imagine, y'all church members, could you imagine what it takes to keep the Word of God going out? So, well, we've got a tent and we've got speakers and everything else. Folks, look, I believe the church has been busier since things have happened here this past few months than they've ever been before. At the Lord's business, I mean. I really do. So, well, there's no place comfortable as our church. Tell me about it. There's no place comfortable as our car. Tell me about it. John the Baptist wasn't comfortable. He cried in the wilderness, didn't he? The Lord Jesus, He cried in the wilderness. The Lord sent His disciples out, and they cried in the wilderness. God's people are supposed to cry in the wilderness. It's what this world is. It's sure nothing like heaven, you know. Nothing like heaven. You cry in the wilderness. You sound out the gospel. You serve the Lord with spirit and in truth. You serve the Lord with a true heart. And in verse 16 of this chapter, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Have you ever thought to consider as a child of God how wise you are in the things of the Lord? Now, folks, let me say this. I don't believe in secret Christians. I just don't. I mean, I believe if a person saved by the grace of God, well, I don't tell anybody because I'm afraid of what they'll... I don't believe that. And say, well, you believe what you want, preacher, because I know people like that. So do I. But folks, when a person is saved by the grace of God, I think not only will they know it, I think they'll want to tell other people so they can know that they're saved by the grace of God. And they'll want other people to hear how they were saved by God's grace. You're wise in the Lord, you know. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. What word? Christ sent the apostles out, folks, with the doctrines that He told them, and the church is supposed to hear the apostles' doctrines. This is what they're supposed to hear. So, well, I want to hear the words of Christ. Folks, the apostles' doctrines that we're talking about here are the words Christ taught them. That's what they are. He got His word from God. Christ did. Christ brought it to the apostles. The apostles were taught those doctrines and we're supposed to continue in those doctrines. Keep right on serving. Doesn't make any difference what the world's doing out there. The world's all confused and messed up. But God's people are not supposed to be. You know, even in death, in the book of 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4, when it comes to the most terrible things, the most terrible of things, death. And, I don't talk about it much. It's not my favorite subject. I don't like to talk about where I'm going to be buried. I don't like to talk about what I want on the tombstone. I don't want to talk about none of that stuff, folks. I just don't. I know it's appointed unto man once to die. I know I'm going to. Sooner or later, I'm going to die the physical death. One way or another, I'm going to be translated or going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. One of the two. That could happen at any time. Either one of them. And we know what's going to happen to us when our life comes to an end. We know where we're going. We know what is in store for us as God's people. I'm amazed to think that when God tells me I have an inheritance that's incorruptible, that fadeth not away, reserved for heaven, for you, He says, I can't imagine, folks, what that might be. I mean, the things of God. Everything that's His, we're going to inherit that. So, well, can you really count on that? I'm afraid, folks, a lot of people die without Christ. You know, a lot of people die believing they're going to see that place, but they've never trusted Christ. They've never believed. They've never repented of their sin, put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. They never have. And yet they think when they leave this life, they're going to see that place, that they've got an inheritance they don't have, folks. You can only have that inheritance in Christ Jesus. See, folks, the Word of God says, let the words of Christ dwell in you, the wisdom. Let it dwell in you richly. Greater things are in store for God's people. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalm and hymn and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. What we do, folks, we're supposed to do for the Lord. What we do, we're supposed to do to give Him glory and honor in everything that we say and do. Folks, from our thoughts, to our prayers, to our songs, to our exhorting one another every day. That Word of God dwells in us richly. Where do you think? We mentioned that armor of God a while ago. Where do you think we found out about that? What do you think about that? Folks, there's a helmet, there's a shield, there's a breastplate, there's things to shod your feet and everything like, you know, everything that God's people need. Everything that we need to fight the battle that we're in here. The whole armor. But who's the victor? Folks, we're the victor. You know, we loved that song a while ago. I'm really struck by it tonight. Another soldier down. We bury our loved ones, those faithful in the Lord. You know, that's a great loss to a family, a church, to a group of people. That's a great loss, the faithful in Christ dying. But in the sight of the Lord, God says, it's precious. Another soldier might be down, but they're in the presence of the Lord. Amen. And know this, there'll be someone else to take their place. Lord knows what He's doing, folks. You trust in Him for everything. This virus, He's got a handle on it. The things people are saying, nobody knows about it. They're speculating a lot, but the Lord knows everything about it. Don't be afraid. Don't be alarmed. Be careful. Be careful. I don't doubt there's something to it. So you be careful. As God's people, trust in Him for everything. In Philippians in chapter 2 and verse 12, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, it says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation, or a perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. As whom you shine as lights in the world. You know, folks, to be blameless, we have to not complain. Do you know about that? You know, in the book of Exodus, in chapter 19, book of Exodus in chapter 19. If you want to turn over there, as we come to a close here in just a few moments or so. And in verse 4. Exodus 19 and verse 4. It said, ye have seen what I have done unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. You know, folks, when they made that commitment, they were just coming off of seemed like a terrible time. They brought it upon themselves. Said, well, you know, the Lord knew all about them. He should have just took them from Egypt to the promised land. He did. He took them there. You know, they cried and they bellyached. He said, the Lord brought it. They got on to Moses, jumped on to Moses. You know, look, folks, if you have any problem, jump on to your preacher. Yeah, if you got any problems, you jump on to your pastor. Any problems with what the Lord says anyway. And he's going to tell you what the Lord says. And he's going to tell the Lord what he told you. You see, folks, the things of the Lord are true and honest and just. And they are words that we need to speak. You see, we've got to be careful as we close. We will find ourselves like the children of Israel in the wilderness, saying we loathe this bread. Now, God was giving them what they needed to live with that manna. We loathe this bread. Don't want it anymore. You know, folks, there's people saying that about the bread of life. You know who that is? Or what that is? That's Jesus Christ, the righteous. People are saying that in the day and time that we live. We loathe that living bread. We loathe that bread. We want meat. Lord sent them a bunch of quail. Had a mouthful of quail complaining about what they had to eat. God gave them exactly what they asked for. Even their journey, folks. Could you imagine a 40-year journey in that small land over there? Could you imagine the things that they'd seen over and over and over and over? So how did that happen? Folks, it was not the works of God that caused them to wander 40 years in the wilderness. It was their complaining, their crying, their belly aching against the things of God, against God's people, against God's man, against the faithful. That's why it took them so long to get there. Look, folks, our life can be miserable if we're not satisfied with the Lord. Our life will be awful. It'll be a journey. I'll tell you, a journey that we won't want to be part of. When we just complain and moan and groan. Try to blame everybody for what's going on in my life. Doesn't happen like that, folks. We can't be blessed if we complain about everything. We can't be blessed if we doubt the Lord. We can't be blessed if we allow the devil place in our heart. Give no place to the devil. You trust in the Lord. If you're here tonight and you've never repented of your sin and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, we could quote John 3:16. That's one of the greatest scriptures ever written, I believe. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. There's no other way but Jesus. No other way but God's way. John 6:47, it says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Nobody can come to the Father of their own works, their own goodnesses, their own religions, everything else, folks. Only through Christ Jesus. Jesus, I'm the resurrection and the life. Don't expect it, folks, from anyone else. So much truth. When Peter said, the just suffered for the unjust. The unjust is me. The unjust was you. And Jesus died, the just for the unjust. Father, grant grace this night. Grant repentance and faith. Father, grant us more faith. Lord, help us to have the peace that we can know even in the times that we live. And Father, help us to endure all this suffering, all this confusion. Lord, help us look to You. Bless this church. We thank You again for this honor and privilege. We thank this church for asking us to come and be part of this. Father, bless them another 100 years if You don't come back. And Father, forgive me my sin and my failures. And save those that are lost, even this night. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.